Matthew 6:6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Let's pray. Lord God, just come before you asking you to help me. Lord, I need your help. I pray you fill me with your spirit. Lord, use me as I preach your word. Lord, help me to say just what you'd have me to say. And Lord, that it would be a help and a challenge to us. God, you chose through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe and to edify and build us up. And Lord, we just ask you to help us now. Speak to our hearts, teach us, convict us, correct us, edify us. God, we need you. We always need you. But as we come here, we come on a Wednesday night because we want to hear from you. We need to hear from you. God, thank you for this privilege. Thank you that we can gather together as your body. You're good to us, Lord. We thank you for that. Bless this time now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're looking at the Christian's prayer closet. And we'll be looking at prayer here for a little bit. After this, we're going to get into our model for prayer as we go through and what's typically termed the Lord's Prayer, really the disciples' prayer, but it's most of us know it as the Lord's Prayer. And we'll talk about how we should, what's our pattern for prayer as we go to the Lord. As the Lord gave us right there when he tells them how to pray. He says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. So we will look at that here, but first we want to look at the Christian's prayer closet. Prayer, secret prayer, which is what a prayer closet signifies, it's secret. Secret prayer should be as natural as breathing for a true Christian. It says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. As simple as talking to your Father. That's how this secret prayer should be to us. And so often we neglect it. In this verse, our Lord expects that we're going to pray. It's not if you do, but when thou prayest. He's expecting it to happen. This is going to be something that does take place. He expects we're going to pray. He doesn't ask or command us to pray, but rather says, when thou prayest. So he's expecting it. As we look at this here, in the times that Jesus was speaking of this, every Jewish house had a place for secret devotion. The roofs of their houses were flat places for walking, conversation, and meditation in the cool of the evening. We could look at the story of David and Bathsheba, and what did he see? He looked out from the palace, and he sees her bathing on her roof. I don't know that that was the best time of day to do it, but the point is that many of them, you know, a lot of their life happened on their roofs, and they'd have it as a place where they could walk, and they could have their devotions, they could meditate in the cool of the evening. Now, over the porch or the entrance of the house was a small room, the size of the porch, raised a story above the rest of the house, and it was specifically for the purpose of retirement, of secrecy, of solitude, and a place where a Jew might offer his prayers in secrecy to God. Where it's not like, as we saw before, the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, giving their alms and praying. Don't be like the hypocrites are, he says in verse 5, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets that they may be seen of man. See, they have a wrong motive in their prayer. And he says, verily I tell you, they have their reward. And it's to be seen of men. Everyone looks at them and that's their reward. The reward is that, oh, everyone thinks that, wow, look at how holy they are. Look at how they walk with God. You know, look at them. They're so special because they put the appearance that they are. And I mentioned last week even, but some people, they want to feel religious, and mostly it's lost people that want this feeling. They want to go into a church building, if you will, that has stained glass windows and candles everywhere. Why? So they can feel a religious experience. so they can feel it. And that's what these people are doing. No different. They want the attention of men. They want people to look at them, and that's their reward. But Jesus says, wait, when thou prayest, go into your closet, that secret place nobody knows about, at least as far as what you're saying and what you're doing. They don't know. You're there and you talk to me alone. It was to this place or to some similar place that our Savior told the disciples and is telling us, instructing us to go when we wish to hold communion with God. It could be a closet. I mean, I'm not even saying a closet's a bad place to do it. But it could just be up awake before everyone else gets up. You know, a prayer closet isn't on your drive to work. I'll just tell you right now. I've had people tell me that before. Well, I pray on my drive to work. You're not concentrating fully on that right there. You're having to pay attention to everything else as you're driving. That's not a prayer closet. A prayer closet is when all the other distractions are gone. And we have to cut that time out. We got to carve that time out or we won't do it. All of us, guilty as charged. Don't do it. I don't cut that time out like I should. I'm guilty. We have to force ourselves to do it. We have to make time for it. We make time to breathe, right? It should be that natural to us that it's just something we do. Now, this porch that we're talking about here, this is the place commonly mentioned in the New Testament as the upper room, or the place for secret prayer, that prayer closet. The meaning of our Savior is that there should be some place where we may be in secret, where we can be alone with God. Some place we can resort where no one's going to hear us but Him. No one's going to see us but Him. You're not going to be embarrassed to say something because, oh, someone might hear me. You're not going to be embarrassed to just weep and cry your eyes out because someone might see me. No, you need a place where you could be in secret, where He's the only one that's going to hear you. He's the only one that's going to see you. You have to have that. Unless you have a place like that, and let me ask first, do you have such a place? Do you? Where is that place? And unless there's a place like that, secret prayer will not be long or strictly maintained. It's not going to last long as far as even your prayer time, but it's not going to continue long. It's not going to be maintained unless you have a place like that. It won't happen. Well, I got kids and they're up and all this. Get up earlier then. Stay up later. Honestly, my opinion is earlier. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't happen. It just doesn't. I'm going to pray at the end of the day. I'm going to read my Bible at the end of the day. And be honest, it doesn't happen. When we say that, it doesn't happen, does it? Nope. If you don't do it in the morning, it just, that's gone. 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 I mean, sometimes maybe. I mean, some people may. But for the most part, it doesn't happen. It's often said we don't have a place like that and can't get one. We're away from home. We're traveling. We're busy just around people. So how can we find a place of prayer and rest for our souls? The desire to pray and the love of prayer will create a place for us in abundance. Well, how's that? Well, we have an example of our Savior doing that throughout His whole life. And if He wasn't busy, I don't know who was. If you think you're busy, you just read through the Gospels and look at how busy our Savior was when He had thousands of people thronging after Him, following Him. So to say, well, I'm so busy I can't, is just an excuse, and just cut it out now. Just get rid of that excuse. That's all it is. It's nothing more than an excuse. Because our Savior is busier than any of us have ever been. And He made time for it. So if that's your excuse, it's a poor one. And that's probably most of us in here, the reason why we don't is, well, I'm busy. Well, we got poor excuses and they're not going to cut it. They just won't. The desire to pray and the love of prayer will create a place for us. Our Savior had all these difficulties but he lived in the practice of secret prayer. He lived it. Read through the Gospels if you don't believe me. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read through them, and you're going to see him. And I'll read through some of those verses, but he rises up a great while before day, before morning, and goes apart to pray. He found those places at times when everyone else was asleep. Early in the morning, sometimes even late at night. That's what he did. That was the practice of his life. To be alone, it says he rose up a great while before day. Places he found was a grove, a mountain, a garden, anywhere he could find. He was a traveler. He didn't have a place to live. He was with strangers all the time. He didn't have a house, but he lived in the habit of secret prayer. This is what he did. This is where he would go. He would find a place. He would get to a place where he could be alone. And that's what we have to do. We have to get to a place where we can be alone so we can have this communion with the Lord. We just have to. What excuses do we have that have a home? Who spend the precious hours of the morning asleep? Who practice no self-denial so we can be alone with God? That's just what it comes down to. That's it. We love our sleep more than we love communion with God. We don't practice self-denial. And one of the major characteristics of a disciple is that they practice self-denial. That is a major characteristic of a disciple, of a follower of Christ, is that we will deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow him. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Brother Dominic hit on it when he was praying. He was praying for people's salvation. He said, we have so much. But it doesn't just affect the lost people. It affects saved people as well. Because we have so much. Well, what do we need to pray for? There may be, not right now, I can tell you right now, not right now, no one's had to do this. But maybe, there may be, and that's a maybe, there might be people in here right now that have had to at some time in their life pray for food because there was no food to eat. Maybe. I'm doubtful, but maybe. But I guarantee no one's in that position right now. No one's there right now where we're having to pray for our food because we don't know where the next meal's coming from. Not one of us is in any position like that. We have so much food, we throw food away. Like, I don't like that. Toss it. See, that it's a blessing and a curse. Because it takes our dependence away from God. See, when you're completely dependent on God, that will drive you to prayer. I'm telling you, if your family member gets sick, somebody comes down with cancer or something in your family, you're going to turn into a prayer. A prayerer. Is that how you say it? I don't know how you say it. A prayer, though. You're going to start praying more than you do now. Because there's a need. Because there's a need. So our abundance has really hurt us. Bible says of the nation Israel, they were at ease in Zion. Why? Because they had everything they needed. They didn't have to fight or battle for anything. They were at ease in Zion, and they turned to idolatry. And isn't that us today? Because we're at ease in America, we've turned to idolatry. And as Christians, we have to watch that thing, because it's everywhere. It jumps up all over us. Everywhere. Idleness, we've probably all heard that statement before that, you know, idle hands are the devil's workshop. Why? When you have nothing to do. And I know we're all, we work and things like that, but I mean, we're blessed, so we do have free time. And idle hands get you in trouble because you're getting bored. Well, what do I do now? But if you're worried about where's my next meal going to come from and you're chasing after that thing, you don't have time to get in trouble. You're just worried about surviving. and driving you to the Lord. Lord, help us, show us, what do we do? And you're going to work to get that, to make it happen. And I praise God for all the blessings we have. But sometimes it harms us. The Lord found a place. He found that secret place. So what excuses do we have with everything we've got? We have a home. We have places in private we can go to. We all have a car. We can drive out. You know, I'm telling you here that you want a quiet place, drive out, jump on Rio Bravo right here, Dennis Chavez, and take it up to Paseo del Volcan, or they changed the name of it. I forget what they called it, Atrisco Vista, Arroyo Vista. I don't know what they call it anymore. They changed the name of that street, though. But you just take it all the way till it turns around, right where it turns. You can find somewhere right there to park. You'll be alone. And just get out there and just walk back and forth, pace back and forth. Spend time praying. Go to a park, walk around a park. People think that person's crazy talking to themselves. It doesn't matter. It's still a secret place because they're not going to know. Just go where they're not. And just walk and pray. Walk and pray. We have to cut time out. We have to. You know, I didn't even intend to preach on this. I was going to preach on, you know, our pattern for prayer. But as I started studying this, I started studying verse 6, and I got so convicted over this. I said, man, if I need this, I bet everyone else needs it too. Maybe not everyone else, but many of us are going to need it just the same. We have to cut that time out. We got to find a place. Shut the phone off. Shut the TV off. Shut the radio off. Find time alone. Make it happen. The Lord did. Our Savior used these hours to have that secret prayer. He would have taken that path to the solitary mountain or grove so that he could be alone and pray. People don't like that word grove, maybe, but that's what it was. A grove is just like a forest, a place where you could go to be alone. And the groves oftentimes are associated in the Bible with idolatry, but not always. They weren't always a bad place. That's just many times what the people did there. They became a bad place. So the groves in and of themselves aren't necessarily evil. It's what the people did with them that made them evil. So we can have things that aren't necessarily evil. This isn't evil in and of itself. But we can make it evil by what we do with it. See what I'm saying? So it's not just that, oh, you know, because these make idolatry out of people. Idolaters out of people. Hours wasted, just hours. Thousands of hours wasted. It still drives me crazy when we go to a restaurant or something and you see a family sitting there and everyone is just like this, looking at their phone. Not talking to each other. Like, do you even know each other? Do you know each other's names? Maybe text message each other, maybe. And that's what ends up happening. So these in and of themselves aren't bad, but they sure do make idolaters out of people. This is the stuff we got to keep in check, and we'll be able to keep it in check if we have that secret prayer place. That's what strengthens us spiritually. It's so necessary that we have that. But our Savior did do it. He did lay down the example for us. But many of us are too unconcerned about our own walk with the Lord, with the salvation of the lost around us, to practice the least bit of self-denial in order to commune with God. I mean, I know we want our families saved. But what price are we willing to pay for that? What time are we willing to give in prayer so they'll be saved? For whatever reason, the Lord's chosen to hear and listen to our prayers. And there's many examples in the Bible you can see where people interceded for somebody else and God answered that prayer of that person. Lot is a wonderful example of that. Abraham and Lot is a beautiful example of intercessory prayer. God interceded because Abraham prayed for Lot. Not just for Lot, I believe all of Sodom and Gomorrah he was praying for. But he spared Lot. and tried to spare his family. So although the Lord doesn't specify the times when we should pray in secret, He also doesn't say how often it should be done. But some of the reasons may be the following. One, He designed the entirety of our prayer life to be voluntary. So why didn't He specify a time? Why didn't He say how often? Because He wanted our prayer life to be voluntary. But thou, when thou prayest, you choose. So when is this special prayer time? He said, you choose. I'm not going to force it on you. That's how God works right there. I'm telling you, liberty of conscience. Liberty of conscience. You have the freedom to choose what you're going to do. If you want to pray, Christian, you pray. If you don't, don't. He designed the entirety of our prayer life to be voluntary. There's not a better test of true piety than a disposition to engage often in secret prayer. Piety means honor, respect, obedience, and love for God. So there's not a better test of true honor, respect, obedience, and love for God than a disposition to engage often in secret prayer. That shows our honor and respect, our love for God, is that we're willing to spend that time with Him in prayer. Because we want to know His mind. We want to hear from Him. We want to be with Him. We want to be close to Him. There's no showiness to your prayer closet. Like in verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. There's no showiness to a prayer closet. You won't earn rewards from men for this. No one will see it. No one's even going to know. But you will have sweet communion with the Lord. And as it says right there, the end of verse 5, verily I say unto you, they have their reward, but thou when thou prayest, verse 6, enter into thy closet when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which seeth in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So you have that communion with the Lord, but then God promises right there, He says, I will reward thee openly. God promises to reward it if we do it with the right motives, not to be seen of men. And when you get in that prayer closet, men aren't going to see that. I mean, I get it. You go out and you start, you know, go to a park. People are going to see you. But for the most part, people aren't going to know what you're doing. They're going to have no idea what you're doing. You're going to go out there. They might think you're just talking to yourself. But nobody knows. No one will know. Just God. He designed to leave it to His people to show attachment to Him by coming to God often and as often as they chose. Think about that, the privilege of that. We get to go to God as often as we choose. But He left it to us to show our closeness to Him by coming to Him often. You choose when you're going to come to me. I like Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can go boldly to Him. Think about that. There's nothing we have to fear ever going to the Lord. Why? Because we have an advocate on our side. We have the Lord Jesus Christ is there, and He gives us that access to go boldly under the throne of grace. Do you think Jesus is scared to talk to His Father? No way. Not in a million years would you think that. Of course not. Well, we have the same access. Why? Because He made it for us. He gave us the access to be able to go to Him. Because of that, we can go boldly under the throne of grace so we can obtain mercy. You know what that is? That's me not getting what I deserve. When we mess up and we blow it and we've sinned, God says, come to me and you can obtain mercy. Come. He doesn't just say, come to me. He said, come boldly unto the throne of grace. Praise God, the throne of grace, not getting what I deserve or getting what I don't deserve, I'm sorry, so I can obtain mercy not getting what I do deserve. He says, you deserve to be punished for that. He says, but I will give you mercy. And we can find grace to help in time of need. When we need Him, He says, come to me. Come boldly to me. When you don't need me, come to me. Come boldly to me. Come to commune with me. Come to be close to me. In an attempt to specify the times when this should be done, it would tend to make religion formal and heartless. If we tried to say, you do it at this time, this time, and this time, this is when you have your secret prayer, this is when you pray at these times, these set times, then it just, all it does, and there's examples of it in history, and to this present day, all it does is make religion formal and heartless. I mean, if that's how you went to your earthly father anytime you needed something, son, you can come to me at 2:30 every day. And you got to think of everything that you're going to need at that one time. And that's the only time you can come to me. I mean, you'd come with a list, Dad, I need blah, 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 thank you, Dad. And you'd be gone. I mean, that's what it would tend to be. And that's exactly what's happened. Think of Catholicism. I mean, we're going to hit on this, but verse 7, but when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do. The heathen, the lost. And the Catholics aren't the only one that have rosary beads. The Hindus have rosary beads too. What? Yeah, well, because it's not new. It's not new. It's cold, dead prayer that happens in Catholic churches, in Lutheran churches, in Methodist churches, in Baptist churches. Because it's not real. Now you have a set time, a set way to do it. It's going to tend more towards being formal and heartless. I mean, I remember praying the rosary, the Hail Marys, Our Fathers, and no idea what I was saying. No clue. We just did it. So it was formal and heartless. No, but it looks religious. You know, you're sitting there, hey, everyone looking at the old people. Oh, it's time to stand up. Oh, time to kneel down. What are they doing? Lady, okay, oh, we're standing again. I mean, that's what it tends to be, because it doesn't mean anything to me. What's the point in any of this? It's just formal and heartless. Muhammad did the same thing. He undertook to regulate this with the Muslims. And the consequence also is a cold, formal prostration at the appointed hours of prayer, 3 times a day all over the land where his religion is spread. That's what they do. 3 times a day. Heartless. There's no heart in it. Why? Because I'm commanded to do it. I have to do this. But the Lord didn't do that with us. He says, you choose. You want to come to me? Come to me. But don't be like the hypocrites, just to be seen of men, making a big show of it. Don't be like that. And don't be like the heathen, using vain repetition. When your heart's not in it, he says, you're done. Stop. I don't want it. You think he hears the heathen? Some, you know, smart aleck will say, well, God hears everything. Yeah, but do you think he's really hearing them? Like we want him to hear us. Nope, he doesn't hear that. Don't be like the heathen. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. And go back to Elijah and the prophets of Baal. They're jumping all over the place, yelling, screaming, cutting themselves. Elijah starts mocking them. Hey, maybe your God's asleep. Try louder. Meaningless. He doesn't hear that heathen. He doesn't hear them. There's just so many opportunities where we need to pray, seasons where secret prayer is necessary, and they vary so much that we can't put a set of rules down when it should be done. That's why the Lord left it to us voluntarily. But I say this, without giving rules where the Lord hasn't given any, there are some times when secret prayer is proper, and we're going to look at some suggestions here. Secret prayer could be done in the morning. And I think it should be done in the morning. I'm not going to try and dictate and say to anybody that they have to, but it sure is a good time to. It sure is a good time, Mark 1:35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. That's speaking of our Lord. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day. So he got up before everybody else. If it's a pattern that our Savior followed, wouldn't it do us well to follow that same pattern? Didn't we just sing, follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Well, if he did it, shouldn't we? Amen. Amen. We should too. It's a good pattern for us to follow. Nothing's more appropriate than when we've been preserved through the night. We're about to start the day. Everything that the day may bring forth, none of us know how dangerous it may be, what it may entail, than to give thanks and commit ourselves to the Lord's care. Nothing's more appropriate than that. Starting our day out. Request protection and provision for the day at hand. We start it out in the morning. Commit yourselves to His will for this day. Say, Lord, protect me, provide for me, provide for my family, protect my family. And Lord, guide me and lead me. Guide my steps. Lead my steps. See, that's something we don't like to ask. Because He might ask us to do something we don't want to do. Start praying this. Lord, put me in somebody's path that needs to hear the gospel today. Put me before their path. And if you start praying that, you better be ready for Him to do it, and you better be ready to be a mouthpiece. Because He'll give you the opportunities, and we need to pray that. We need to ask Him, God, guide my steps. And if we have this attitude in the morning, it might help us when something doesn't go how we want, how we planned. I like being on a schedule. I like schedules. I don't like when my schedule gets messed up. But sometimes I stop and think to myself, I'm like, maybe this happened so I can talk to this person. Maybe that's why this is happening. We need to commit ourselves to His will for the day. We need to be willing to be a living sacrifice. Luke 9:23, He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. If you're going to come after me, any man, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. See that cross bearing that so many people talk about? That bearing our cross is talking about self-denial. The context right there tells us, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Denying yourself and follow me. Because you know what? The Savior, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The Savior leads us through the valley of the shadow of death sometimes. It's dangerous in that valley, but He leads us through it sometimes. See, if we follow Him, He's going to take us places we don't always want to go. But that's why we commit ourselves at the beginning of the day, Lord, guide my steps. Guide my steps, but we have to set the time apart for this. Where we can commune with Him like this. And I mean, I'd say we need at least 30 minutes. At least. To really be able to do this. With no distractions. And I know it's hard. And I'm already looking at my schedule and thinking, great, I'm going to have to get up earlier. But should we be like, great, I'm going to have to get up earlier. We should be like, all right, I get to get up earlier and talk to my Lord. That's how we should be. We're not. So that's when it kicks in that I'm going to have to deny myself. Take up my cross daily. And follow Him. Just what has to happen. Some of us, that may mean also on the flip end, we have to go to bed earlier. So we can get up earlier. Denying ourselves. I mean, that may mean cutting out Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, all that stuff that just sucks our time away so that we can do what we need to do when we have the daylight and not have to stay up later and get to bed and wake up so we can commune with our Lord. That might be what we have to do. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. See, that inward man needs to be renewed day by day. Why? By following Him, by committing ourselves to His will for the day, by spending time in communion with Him, telling the outward man, no, the outward man's going to die. We have to deny ourselves and let the inward man be renewed day by day. Philippians 2:17, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Think about that. At the end of our life, we could stand there and say, hey, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, because we've led some people to the Lord, because we've helped them grow in the Lord, because maybe it was our children that we were able to do that with, or a spouse that we're praying for, or a brother or a sister, or a mom or a dad that we're praying for. Hey, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. I'm telling you, I mean, I'll be happy if I die and my mom is saved, my dad is saved, my sisters are saved, my children are saved. I can joy in that. I can rejoice in that. It's your family members are saved, the ones we're praying for that you love. Hey, we can joy in that. We can rejoice in the sacrifice we made because I got up earlier. I was tired. I didn't want to, and I spent time in prayer. I sacrificed something. Man, the joy that'll be in eternity when we've been there 10,000 years and they're right there with us and we're looking at each other like, yeah, we're praising Jesus. Amen. Don't you love this? Woohoo! I mean, won't that be good? We got 10,000 more years. Praise God. It'll be worth it. Secret prayers should be done also in the evening. I'm going to stop right here because I've got a lot more to go through. And I don't want to take too much time going through that, so I'm going to stop here. But look, do we have that place? Do you have that secret place where you sacrifice? Sacrifice your time. The Lord can make more of what we have when we give it to Him than we can if we keep it. I don't always understand how He does it. But if I will give my energy to Him, and He can give me more energy. He can help me get through it. I've seen Him do it with my money. When it doesn't make sense and I give it to Him, He makes it up. I don't know how. He does. I've seen Him do it where I had no idea how it was going to happen. He did it more than once. I've seen Him do it with my energy as well. He'll do it. We have to commit it to Him. Give it to Him first. See, there's a verse in Proverbs that talks about that we're to bring and give the first fruits to the Lord. Give Him the best. See, what many of us do is we give our best to just the busyness and the things we have to do during the day. We give the best to those activities. To activities that honestly in the end are just going to burn up. Be gone. We give our best to that. And we give the leftovers at the end of the day to the Lord. Where we're like, oh, I'm going to read my Bible now. And we're doing this. Anybody been there? Yeah. We give Him the leftovers. But it needs to be reversed. That's why I say I think one time we need to do it is in the morning. And we'll get into the evening as well. But we really need to give God our best. You doing that.